This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is titled What We Learned in Ramadan. And as we all know, the purpose of Ramadan is so that we may change during Ramadan and continue with that change, act of worship or good habit that we acquired for the rest of the year. We spent Ramadan close to the Quran, regularly reciting it, regularly learning, memorizing, and contemplating its meanings. So the question is, did we continue that relationship with the Quran after Ramadan? A few Ramadans ago, I received a text on the third day of Eid. And the text message said, today is the third day after Eid. Are you on your third juz? And it's an amazing reminder, because for many people, the Quran just went back up on the shelves. The scholars said, when you love someone, you love their speech. You love your children, you love what they say to you. It doesn't make any sense. Or if it makes sense, it's not beneficial. But you love what they say. People love to talk to their fiancés, their loved ones. So how much do we love the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal? Meaning, how quickly do we get tired of reciting the Qur'an or bored of reciting the Qur'an in comparison to other topics we love? Those who love to talk about investing and houses and cars, music, how soon do they get tired of that in comparison to how quickly they get tired of the Qur'an? The companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he's the one who says that there is not a verse in the Qur'an except I can tell you if it was revealed by night or by day, or on a flat land or in a high, yani like a mountaintop. So they said that whenever you gave him a copy of the Qur'an, and remember they didn't have printing presses back then, so you would have to write out the entire Qur'an. So it was like a rare thing to get a mushaf. So they said whenever you gave him a mushaf as a gift, he would take it and he would put it to his chest, and he would say, Kitabu Rabbi, my Lord's book. Just from the words, you can feel his love for the Qur'an and of Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the important things is what Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in Surah Sad. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatih. This is a blessed book that we sent down to you, so they may contemplate its verses. So first and foremost, it is a book of guidance, therefore it is a book to be contemplated. One of the early Muslims, he had a walima, a gathering, a feast at his home. When they asked him the occasion, he said after 20 years that he finally completed the Qur'an. He said, Khatamtu al-Qur'an. So So they told him, 20 years? It took you 20 years to complete the Quran? And he said, Wallahi, I never passed by a verse, except that I first asked myself, what does Allah Azza wa Jal want from me from this verse? Yani, what is required of me from this verse? So what he means is that he's going through the Quran, a slow contemplation of the Quran, and therefore it took him 20 years. Not about singing through it or reciting it quickly, but what is the lesson? What is required of me when it comes to this verse? And do I act upon this verse or do I ignore the message of this verse? And this is the kind of completion of the Quran, and that's why it took him 20 years to do so. The companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, again, radiallahu anhu, his advice. He says, when you're reading the Quran, do not sing it along like poetry, and do not rush through it, but pause and contemplate its meanings. وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ آخِرَ السُّورَةِ. And let not the concern of one of you be the end of the surah. What does that mean? Yani someone says, I'm going to sit down and recite Al-Baqarah. So they take a bookmark and put it at the end of Al-Baqarah. And then they start reciting. Then every little bit they stop and they check the thickness. They stop and they count the pages. Don't let your concern be the end of the surah. And this advice was given by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So Allah Azza wa Jal first said, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah, and then Allah Azza wa Jal will teach you. And that's why the scholars said, taqwa comes first. And if you're not able to learn, there must be something, work on your taqwa, and you'll be able to learn and knowledge will come easier. So the scholars said, based on this idea here, that so many people, they come expecting to be moved by the Quran, but then nothing happens. And they argue, how can you be moved by the words of the Quran if you have thrown the values of the Quran behind your back? Many times a person will come and say, I didn't feel the salah, or this imam didn't do it for me, or this masjid didn't do it for me. But it's really not about the masjid nor the imam, but it's about the individual. If you turn your back on the values and meanings and lessons of the Quran, then what are the chances that just the words of the Quran are going to move you? Brothers and sisters in Islam, we are composed of a body and a spirit. And so the scholar said, the body was created from earth. So therefore, everything that will take care of and bring peace to the body will also be from earth. Food, drink, sleeping, resting, that's all from earth. But they said the spirit came from the heavens. So everything that will take care of and nurture the spirit must also be something from the heavens. By that they mean the Quran, they mean the revelation. But the shaitan, his job is to distract you from the Quran. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, even when before we start reciting, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you're about to recite the Quran, seek the refuge and protection of Allah from الشيطان, the outcast. So this basically is the job of the shaitan, that he's going to come and try to get us to stop reciting the Quran, to look away from it, to put us to sleep. The minute you start to recite, he tries to put you to sleep or reminds you of something that you need to do or someone that you need to call, because that's his job. The point of that is to say that if we have abandoned the Quran after Ramadan, that means the shaitan has become successful. Ramadan made us better people, better worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it made us better believers, and abandoning the Quran is just an indication that we didn't learn the lesson from the month of Ramadan. With that, أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So the first reminder was a reminder to myself and to you that we do not abandon the Quran for the rest of the year. And we perhaps won't be able to keep up what we did in Ramadan, but at least we don't put it back on the shelf until next Ramadan. The second thing is to not abandon fasting itself. And for many people, fasting is just in the month of Ramadan. And the reminder for us is to keep fasting every now and then. It does not have to be a packed schedule, busy with full days of fasting, but it could just be every now and then so that we don't forget it. One of the benefits of fasting, yani one of the religious benefits of fasting, the Prophet ﷺ said that the fasting person, when they break their fast, they have a da'wah that is not rejected at all, that was not refused or rejected. And that in itself is just an incentive to fast, voluntary fast throughout the year. Abdullah ibn Umar, they narrate that when he used, because he knew this, that he has a dua that will never be rejected, he used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay' an taghfir li. Yani, take advantage of that da'wah, and he would ask for maghfirah. He would say, oh Allah, I ask you, by your mercy that has encompassed everything, that you forgive me. So that's just one of the incentives, that you have a dua that is answered. In the other hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts a voluntary day, ba'adallahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will push the hellfire away from him, or he'll keep him away from the hellfire a distance of 70 years, basically. Just from fasting one day, 70 years. So the reminder was that we don't abandon the Quran, and that we don't abandon fasting, that we continue whatever good habits we acquired during the month of Ramadan. And that was the whole point. The whole point of the month is that we don't have lifestyle A, this is how I live outside of Ramadan, and then lifestyle B, that's how I live in Ramadan. And then when Ramadan's over, I just go back to lifestyle A. With that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in His, and give us aid to worship Him better and to continue in worshiping Him, and to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring ease and victory to Islam and to the Muslims. اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم ثبتهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء وعن أهل اليمن وعن أهل السودان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Just a few announcements, so let me do them right now. First one is just praying that everyone had a good Eid, and all the programs in the masjid will resume next week, meaning there's no Friday night lights today. All programs start resuming next week. The new Muslim class with Sheikh Ibrahim resumes Sunday, April 14th at 4 p.m. The boys' spring camp registration closes this Sunday, April 14th. Don't miss out on this excellent opportunity for young men ages 13 to 21. Please check out our website and social media pages for the registration. This is the annual masjid camp. This is the 21st year, I believe. It's been going on for a while, and it's Always last minute people trying to enter. So if you have a child 13 to 21, register them quickly, please. Starting tomorrow, Fajr will be held at 6:15 a.m. And we'd like to thank everyone for their generous donations during the month of Ramadan. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept from all of you.